I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. There's a neat book out to be published shortly, and it's called Vancouver Was Awesome, A Curious Pictorial History. Its author, Lanny Russworm, joins me now to talk about this book, his acclaimed blog, Past Tense Vancouver. You can see that at Past Tense Vancouver, that's all one word, .tumblr.com. Mr. Russworm joins me in studio now, and I'll ask him about the personal and public stories that are throughout this book and how this book came about and the collaboration with the popular website VancouverIsAwesome.com. Lanny Russworm is a historian and has been blogging since 2008. He holds degrees in political science and history from Simon Fraser University. Vancouver Was Awesome is published by Arsenal Pulp Press. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in studio, as it were, Lanny Russworm. Mr. Russworm, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in to do this. I appreciate it. This book... It came about, I guess, because you work with Bob. You blog on VancouverIsAwesome.com, but before that, you have your own blog, right?
Yeah, that's,
and you still have it. The past tense. Yeah. How did that come about? Because I remember seeing that all the time, and people passing it along, links and the sort, and photographs on it.
Right.
Was that something that you wanted to do, or? How did the
blog?
Yeah, how did the blog come about?
Well, I did my master's thesis at SFU, and I had a very local topic. It was policing in the 1930s. But during the course of research for that, I'd find all these other cool local things in the archives or in old newspapers, and that didn't fit into my thesis. So I had all this stuff when I was done my thesis, and at that time, this was like 2008, the internet was, like, social networking and whatnot was just starting to really take off, and it was just an outlet for me to share the stuff that I found.
And it must be gratifying to know that there are a lot of people online that are interested in this sort of stuff. I mean, you see it passed around on Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
You seem to have struck a chord with people.
Yeah. Some of the feedback that I've gotten has been really amazing. Like, people are just, wow, you know, I never knew this about the city. Or, you know, even people who lived here their whole lives, it's like, wow, I never knew that about the city. Or also people just getting to know the city.
And you grew up in Vancouver?
No, I didn't. I grew up in Ontario, but I've been here for 20 years now, so I feel like a Vancouverite now.
Yeah, there's something about you people, if I can call you that, that come here and that seem to really become a part of the city, and not only everyone becomes a part of the city if you live in a place for a certain amount of time, but that have become, who really grab it, go into the past, grab it, and then really embrace it for themselves. I mean, I'm thinking of people like Gene Barman, Mark Forsyth, yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it about living here and then coming here and then sort of wanting to learn about the past? I mean, there are people like myself who've lived here my whole life, people that I know, that don't have that sort of zeal that you folks have.
Well, sorry, I think it's a way to make a new place feel more like home, just getting to know the city. I would imagine the same is true for immigrants coming from other countries. A lot of times you'll find that they know more about Canadian history than people who lived here their whole lives. But for me, yeah, definitely it just makes you feel more familiar and comfortable and at home in this new place.
One of the things I liked about reading your book, Vancouver Was Awesome, was looking at some of the notes that you made, the bibliographical notes and some of the sources. We have, in this part of the world, in this city, a great number of books about ourselves. Even though yours is a welcome book, and there should be more books about Vancouver, don't you think? But there are some great sources in the past. Where do you get the photographs that are in this book, for the most part? Where do they come from?
Probably the majority of them come from the City of Vancouver Archives, which is over in Vanier Park, but they're sort of like the official city kind of keeper of old photographs, and also the Vancouver Library downtown has a great collection as well. But those are the, I guess, two main sources, but also I found some from, you know, the Library of Congress and the U.S. has some photos that I used, or the Vancouver Sun has a great collection as well.
Yeah, the film, what's the guy's name, William Harbeck? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that wasn't even found here. That was found in Australia, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was found, it's a 1907 film shot in Vancouver. that was lost for years, and they found it in Australia.
Yeah, for people that aren't familiar with it, Harbeck, I guess, had the camera mounted on the car and then drove around the city and just filmed.
Yeah, that's so, right.
Yeah. And then they recreated that, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, in 2007, the 100th anniversary of the film, they made a 2007 version of the same routes on...
Do you spend a lot of time in archives and the sort? I'm assuming you do because of the work that you do.
I do, but I actually most of the stuff I find online.
Like yeah.
A lot more and more stuff is available online, which just makes it more expedient to do this kind of research.
Yeah.
Not having to travel all over the place. So even like there's like 5,000 plus Vancouver Suns on Google News now, which is...
Yeah,
very convenient.
And then so if you see an image that you like, say on the Google News thing, you can go to the archive at the Sun and then get a copy. Say, is that how it works? Or
the Sun's a little bit different because it's not an archive, so it's set up to run a newsroom.
Yeah.
So they're not organized. Or kind of, they have like probably well over a million photographs and. So that they have amazing photographs, but it's not organized and it's not as easily it's not as easy to get the photos you want from them.
And for the most, like dealing with the City of Vancouver Archive there at Vanier Park, I guess that's the Major Matthews created that. It wasn't at that spot, right? It was at City Hall. Is that right?
Well, he first started it just as a labor of love
in his house. Yeah.
And he battled City Hall for years over, you know, who owns this stuff, and eventually they hired him on and made him the official archivist.
Did you find, having dealt with archives and government agencies and the sort that have these resources, that they're easy to deal with in terms of getting the sort of stuff that you need or that you want access to?
Well, the ones I deal with most locally are, you know, the library and the city archives, and they're both great. Other institutions can be more complicated or less. Well, they're more concerned about security and privacy, you know, copyright issues, and ownership, and that sort of thing. But the local ones are amazing to deal with.
And just take the archive at Vanier Park for just a sec. How much of what they have, say, in terms of photographs, artifacts, and sort of are online? Is it a small percentage? I mean, I'm assuming it is because it's. Probably millions of documents in there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the numbers, but they have thousands online for sure.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, they do have a huge collection.
And so, putting this book together, was this fun? I mean, I'm assuming it is. If you're a history buff as you are.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. It's lots of fun.
And then what's the goal here in terms of the years that you highlight? I mean, I told you before we started that I read the book and. I got to the end, not looking at the page numbers, etc., because I read it on a computer. And I was disappointed that it ended, because I wanted it to go on. So you cover, say, from 1886 up to 1970, is that correct?
Well, there's a few things in there from before 1886.
Yeah.
So it even starts before Vancouver is incorporated. And then we ended it at 1972. We were going to initially... take it up to 1986 Expo.
Mm-hmm.
But during the course of doing the book, in the 70s and 80s, it became more complicated. It seemed to feel like a different kind of project. Like it would have, to do it properly, it would have taken like, you know, oral interviews because, you know, those people are still around,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. And it just seemed to make sense to end it earlier. So in the last story in the book is about the freeway fight, which is also quite relevant today because the viaducts issue that, you know, they're talking about taking down the viaducts, uh-huh. so it's sort of it's related to what's going on today.
Yeah, and so taken together, taken in total, what do you think this collection represents, this book of yours, in terms of what it says about Vancouver and why it's as awesome as it is?
I guess that's a bit of a tricky question. I think something that really came across to me in these stories and pictures is just that. I mean, it kind of skims over a lot of different areas, periods and
it's not a definitive
subcultures, and
it's not a definitive history, but it's a history nonetheless.
Yeah, I guess what jumps out at me is just sort of how sort of the interesting people things did, even, you know, when times were hard and, you know, they had, you know, huge challenges in front of them, they still managed to, you know, be creative and and make the best out of less than optimal circumstances.
We live in a sort of cosmopolitan, metropolitan city, but what surprised me, I don't think it surprised me, but what I found quite interesting was how celebrity obsessed we are. In the book, you have, you know, visits from famous folks, Henry Houdini, Babe Ruth, Louis Armstrong, all these people come to town, and the city goes into a tizzy almost. You know, they go out and meet these people, and I mean, we still have that today. George Clooney was in town, what, a month or so ago, and everybody was just obsessed on Twitter about finding him.
Yeah.
So it kind of says something about where we are mentally in terms of our obsession with famous people, I guess.
Yeah, well, I guess I think it would have, I mean, it would have been quite different 100 years ago, like when, I don't know, Rudyard Kipling or, you know.
Who had a house here.
Guys. Yeah, he had some real estate not too far from here, actually. There was less entertainment options for people. So often, something interesting would happen or someone would come to town and it'd be, you know, thousands and thousands of people, even though the city was quite small back then.
We tend to be proud of our city, I guess, and we make it a big deal if someone famous comes in.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, I think it's also, well, I mean, being a port city, and talk about in the book, I was, you know, on the vaudeville circuit, so there was this flow of entertainers coming through town. And I think maybe Vancouver tends to feel that it's kind of isolated, you know, where the Rocky Mountains separating us from the rest of Canada, sort of thing, and the American border below us. So, you know, like Gene Barman's textbook on BC history is called The West Beyond the West. So it's like, you know, it's like Vancouver is putting up its hand and saying, oh, we're over here, you know.
Yeah. In the book, you mentioned some fascinating people. I picked two that I found interesting. Bob Bouchette. When Shelley Frelick had her book on the Vancouver Sun's history, she came in, she's sitting where you are. We talked about Bouchette because he was a part of the Sun's history, just a great writer, and you have a profile of him and a picture of him, actually, in the book. And I'd never seen what he looked like before. Someone that I was interested in was Betty Andrews. I guess Zaria, is that how you pronounce her name?
I believe it is Zariah.
Zariah, yeah. She ran for mayor against Tom Terrific, Tom Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever find out whatever happened to her?
Actually, a couple years ago, Tom Hawthorne did a profile. He tracked her down and did a profile on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
So she ran for mayor. What was it? Been the '60s? I guess late '60s.
This was, I think, it was early '70s.
Early '70s.
It was, so she was the candidate for the Youth International Party, the Yippies.
And she and Campbell got into it, right? Because Campbell was not, for people that don't know, Tom Terrific, he was, a little buttoned up, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the mayor of Vancouver. He was I guess, conservative developer. He developed much of the West End in the '60s and made a bunch of money there. And then, so when he came to power, that was when, you know, the hippie thing was going on. So there's this huge youth counterculture in town. So he was always at odds with them. He went to war with the Georgia Strait, and it's pretty interesting part of Vancouver history. So yeah, so the Yippies, which is, you know, this is the party that Abby Hoffman started in the States. So there's a branch in Vancouver, and so they put up their candidate for mayor, and it was this young mother on welfare. They did the photo in the book is a picture of her, like, sort of like a Huey Newton from the Black Panther Party sort of style, you know, her and her kid, and she's holding a gun, and
yeah,
it's a riot for mayor.
We have in the city, and going back to the On to Ottawa march and things like that. There is a sort of activist streak in Vancouver, and we tend to, it's representative of what's going on in the larger country, the larger world. We've always been like that, right?
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean, it certainly ebbs and flows. So, like, the late 60s, early 70s was definitely, you know, a high point for activism, for that kind of street-level activism. But also definitely the 30s, what was going on with the unemployed and labor here. And
a lot of APEC in the 90s and the sort.
It sort of carried on. Like I said, it ebbed and flowed. But
and then the Occupy movement. I mean, that was a big thing a couple years ago here. In terms of how you pick the sort of things that you talk about in the book or that you feature in the book, I'm sure the book could have been twice its size. And did you have to do a lot of whittling down and things like that you had to take out?
Absolutely. What ended up being in the book, I mean, the selection process wasn't as systematic. You know, I didn't have like a list of criteria per se, but so a lot of it just reflects stuff that I found that I personally found interesting. I mean, it does sort of come down to that. So in a way, it's, you know, it's sort of, in a way, it was sort of more like curating a collection rather than writing a book. Just, you know, finding the things that I found was interesting. But in terms of the overall thing, I would say it's like a cultural history or even subcultural history, because it does get into a lot of subcultures, whether it's the activists or vaudeville.
It's a fun place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I say, even when times weren't things, we're circumstances tough. weren't very good, people still managed to have a good time.
I mentioned the Harbeck film earlier. In your view of these collections that we have at the library and at the city archive, are there similar sort of movies, say from the 60s, 70s, or 80s, where we see Vancouver on film like that?
There are a few. There's not. The city archives have some good photos.
Yeah.
And there's a few online. There's actually not a whole lot that I've seen. But there are some good samples. There's like, you know, when the royal visit in 1939, for example. There's some good color footage of them driving around town and visiting City Hall and that sort of thing.
What do you find most interesting about the history of Vancouver? And I mean, you did your thesis on crime, is that right?
On policing.
On policing in Vancouver. So is that what you like when you're trolling the archives, say, and you get excited about something that you've discovered. What is it usually about?
I would say. Well, I mean, I would say, I think it's very. I think there's a lot of drama. Like, I'm sometimes surprised at how dramatic situations are. Even like, I mean, this isn't necessarily a positive thing, but you know, like, violence. Often, it's like how violent things often get. Like, one of the stories in the early stories in the book was the old lacrosse games and how, like, how common, like, you know, fist fights in the stands and on the field. Like, it was just like these people were really, really, it was like all or nothing sort of
really
this,
into
this
it,
game.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, so I think that often surprises, even when I come across new stories like that, I'm still like, even though I've seen some of it before, I'm like, holy cow, that was pretty dramatic.
And how are we doing in terms of preserving our history, whether we're in individuals or institutions, like sort of governmental institutions? Do you find that there's enough of that going on?
Well, preserving our history, yeah, there's definitely some good work being done. Like I've always already mentioned the archives and the library, but on the other hand, there's always, can look at, you know, conservation in terms of like our buildings definitely need work there. Like, you know,
people made a big deal about the glass in the, I guess, the ridge when they knocked that down, that wasn't saved. That sort of regulation could have been in place, that could have been preserved perhaps, right?
Yeah, it seems like these issues don't come up in the media until it's like pretty much too late often, and it's like, oh my God. But it's like, so I think what the city should do is step back and like think what can we put in place to make sure that, you know, not to stop new developments, but how can we preserve what's here and, you know, incorporate that into new developments, for example. So things like, you know, the Pantages Theater was a big issue when it was torn down. And
what about, say, if you have a cache of photos at home, family photos,
mm-hmm.
Is there a place where that can be put so that it's preserved? Because I'm sure 50 years from now someone would want to look at that, whether it's your family or not. I mean, do you think...
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I always sort of imagine in my head, that there's like... Yeah. Boxes and attics all over town somewhere with, yeah, you know, amazing not just photographs but documents about, you know, new material for looking at history and looking at local history and maybe from a different angle or from a different person's perspective. And often I think even though Vancouver is such a new city, like it's such a young city compared to other ones, we're still like, you know, like me writing this book, I'm coming after, you know, Major Matthews sort of collected all this stuff. You know, everybody who's done a Vancouver history owes him quite a bit.
And yeah.
Chuck Davis was quite prolific, and then there's been other ones too. So me coming along, I don't feel like I don't have the same kind of obligation, or I don't feel obligated to, like, you know, tell the whole story, or, you know, tell that, you know, the basics are already sort of laid out, so I can look in different places. And I think part of that is looking maybe a little more closer at the smaller details, like individual lives. So right now, one kind of interesting thing is this the Vancouver Museum and Knowledge Network are doing this project on Fonzie,
police, yeah,
street photographer. So there's, and Vancouver's Awesome has been posting these photos too of these photos that were just taken on candid photos of people on Granville Street. Mm. So it's very personal. It's like personal snapshots of people. You know, they weren't famous or anything, just regular people walking down the street, but they are quite interesting and to look at. And, you know, the fashions and the individuals, you know, that sort of, there's like a story going on in the photo a lot of times.
I haven't seen that movie. That was on Knowledge, I guess, in the summer, right?
Yeah, I actually haven't seen it yet.
Either. But, yeah, and I had Melanie in here who made the movie. And she hadn't finished it yet when she made it, but when she came in, and I asked her how long it was, and she said it was a half an hour, and it sort of broke my heart,
yeah,
that it was only a half an hour. But I guess people should go to the museum of Vancouver, and see, yeah, the exhibit. It's still running, isn't it?
I believe so. And yeah, I think they've managed to collect a lot of fancy photographs.
Yeah, and if you go online, I guess, to the Knowledge Network's website. People have submitted photographs there that, yeah, they can see, and it's just fun to look at, say, the building behind all these people, and see what,
exactly,
Vancouver looks like. In terms of what this book represents and what's in it, one realizes that it's a very special place. Do you have a sense of where it's going, having looked at the past?
No.
No.
I mean, that's, I guess, I mean, you can talk about like real estate values and whatnot. It's definitely changing, has changed and is changing the city a lot.
It's something that's, I can't remember if it's in your book or a book I recently read, but it's something that Vancouverites in the last century or more have been thinking about. I mean, the real estate. I mean, it's something that we're obsessed with, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's obsessed, but not. I mean, it sort of makes sense because,
yeah,
it does sort of.
It sort of
make
drives
what's
everything
possible.
Yeah.
Possible, like, yeah, you know, looking at the old days when there's like, you know, all this land. You know, there was like squatters and it wasn't that hard to buy a building or a house or whatnot. So it's
a critical moment in sort of the city's life, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's I guess any kind of period of dramatic change, it can, which direction it actually ends up going is anyone's guess. But yeah, I would say
but you don't have land
prices and densification and that sort of thing. So there's a lot more people we're talking about. You know, I'm not a native Vancouverite, and you are. It feels to me, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but it feels to me that non-native Vancouverites outnumber people,
yeah,
like you who grew up here.
Yeah, but having viewed history as you have, do you have a sense of patterns that emerge in terms of where we're headed? I mean, I'm assuming you do because you're a historian.
Of where we're headed. Yeah. Nah, historians aren't that good at predicting the future. It's we can see patterns, but a lot of times it's you know what happens in Vancouver. Again, I mean it's not. It's very cosmopolitan, and it's not like New York or London or Paris or something. It is like a maybe it is a quote unquote global city, but it's not New York or Paris. So it's a lot of stuff that happens here, sort of a result of what's going on in other places. So like when the youth counterculture flooded into Vancouver in the late 60s, yeah. That was because, you know, for other things that were going on, not something specifically that was happening in Vancouver. And that's a lot of things in history, sort of the upsets, or you get like the sudden influx of people. Even, you know, more recently, in the 90s, the Hong Kong immigration.
Yeah.
So what was going on
in
Hong Kong.
We get other influences too. I mean, bike lanes, that's something that other cities along this coast have experienced, and whether you agree with it or not, it's something that's come here, and we've sort of looked at that in the book. And there's some photographs and stories about a production called Waiting for Lefty. That's a play, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it was put on by the Progressive Arts Club Theater. That's not related to the arts club that we have now, right?
I don't believe so. No.
Yeah.
The Progressive Arts Club was like a left wing. Theater company. So one of the sort of the general category workers theater in those days, what they wanted to bring, like, kind of make theatrical productions that were specifically that would resonate with the working class, because a lot of theater at the time, amateur theater, didn't really speak to people's lives, you know, during the Depression. And you know, even a lot of Hollywood or whatever kind of focused more on the escapism. Mm-hmm. So they mounted this play with a lot of the actors were unemployed, and it just took off, like, at first locally, and then regionally. They toured around the Lower Mainland, and then they ended up winning this award in this big national theater festival in Ottawa.
Is this your day job, being a historian?
No, it's not. No.
But it's a fun avocation, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it is. It's a hobby. So yeah. I think that's sort of an advantage, because I kind of focus on things that I find interesting personally. Yeah. And I think looking back to it, you know, like other historians, like, that really comes across to me. And Chuck Davis is just like, his enthusiasm for it is sort of part of what gets people interested in it, and you can see it in other people. James Johnstone is another person who's very passionate and enthusiastic, and it really comes across and makes the material more interesting. So I always like to kind of keep focusing on, you know, stuff that I personally like.
Yeah. Well, all of you guys, and you with this book especially, have done a great service to the city in terms of chronicling its past and bringing it to today and hopefully to a new audience. I appreciate you coming in to do this.
Right, super. Thank you very much.
The website's pasttensevancouver.tumblr.com. That's Lanny's website. And then, of course, vancouverisawesome.com. The book is called Vancouver Was Awesome, A Curious Pictorial History. It's from Arsenal Pulp Press. Its author, Lanny Russworm, joined me in studio here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.